Psalm 45. Psalm 45 got a number of questions about this, and questions are a good thing. Questions aren't always bad, and they're not always somebody that's trying to create an issue. There are sometimes when you think you're a Bible believer, or you believe you're a Bible believer, and those things, and you hear some things contrary to what you might have heard before. And I mentioned something the other day that you can't claim, as far as righteousness is concerned, to love God and love righteousness and also love equally iniquity or wickedness or evil things. You can't do the same thing. Bitter water and sweet water don't flow out of the same fountain. In other words, there's choices in the Christian life. Now, it's a little bit difficult for you because modern Christianity nowadays teaches this sort of a contemporary, let's all get together, let's all be of one mind. Everything's relative, so bad's good and good's bad and nothing's bad. Years ago, there was a murder that was done years ago. You old people would remember when Charles Manson was around. Sharon Tate and LaBianca were people that were movie stars and all that. And Manson had these girls that went around with him and things like that. And one of the girls that committed that murder said, "Well, you really have to love somebody, because I loved her enough to kill her, cut the baby out of her stomach, and drink her blood. But you really have to love somebody to do that." Well, it's a perverted kind of a love. You say, no, you can look it up if you want to look it up. I mean, I realize that's disgusting to think about, but that's the age and time you live with. They say that God loves, and then he brings in every abomination in the world. No, God's a good hater. You can't be in the Bible, you can't be a good king if you're not a good hater.
Amen.
Now see how contrary that flies in the face? You folks that are visiting, will you just be patient? I don't mean to make fun or anything. Be patient enough to hear me out and at least hear the argument. Modern Christianity teaches that we get along. Have you ever heard this? Shalom Aleichem. You know what that is? Peace be unto you. Alecha Shalom. What does that mean? And unto you peace. Well, that's spoken by the individuals before they cut your head off. Peace in the Bible follows righteousness. Righteousness first and then peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. No glory, no peace. There's things that have to be there. Righteousness comes before peace comes. Purity, that which descended from above, is first pure, then peaceable. You want to know why your nation is in the mess that it's in and your church is in the mess they're in, is there's no purity. Without purity, there's no peace. Well, there's no way to have purity without choice. Now, I don't mean to be hard. It sounds like I'm challenging you when I say it. I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm trying to just have you to wake up a little bit to understand that this modern day sloppy carnal Christianity that says that I'm just supposed to get along with everybody in the name of love is a perverted love. Biblical love, when it comes to the physical relationship, is a man and a woman or a family. And you have to define family nowadays. Family is a man and a woman and child or children. It is not two men together and children or two women together and children, unless you throw the Bible out. Now here it comes. You ready? That's hate speech. No, it's not hate speech. It's biblical truth.
Amen.
But what happens is that now, well, I've never heard anybody else say that. Okay. I've had salmon in 10 other restaurants, but I've never had it like this. You just made the decision based on your limited experience as to what salmon ought to always be like. You just hadn't been in a restaurant that cooks it different than other 10 people did. Do you understand? So what you've been exposed to is the media is constantly pushing to you. They'll use the word Christian and they're referring to Roman Catholics.
Right.
They'll use the word Christian and they're referring to not your idea, not the biblical form of Christianity at all. Well, so preacher, you're telling me that I can't do those things. I'm telling you, you can be saved and do those things. But if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to make some choices.
Right.
You cannot love Jesus Christ and righteousness. Think about it like this. Here's a good way to think about it. Here, Jesus Christ, he loves righteousness and holiness and purity and cleanliness. And he equally loves sex perversion and embezzlement and robbing and raping and killing and stealing and murdering and whatever else the list is in there. They're all just the same. It's just relative. Well, what kind of God would be like that? Like a yin and yang God or something like that? What is that? That's not a biblical Christianity. I'm trying to re-indoctrinate you so that you understand that you're really not the problem. You're made to feel like something's wrong with you because you go, I don't think that's right. Well, you just don't understand where they came from. I don't have to understand where they came from. I don't need to feel what it's like to be a pedophile to know that pedophilia is wrong. Well, if you understood where he came from, listen, I don't even care if he got abused when he was a child and now he's turned into an abuser. It don't make any difference. He is still abusing somebody else. You don't excuse that. If he's been abused as a child, then go get some help. There's programs and people that can help you, psychiatrists and psychologists that can help you to deal with that. That doesn't give you a right to go out there and abuse other people. And you abuse other people's children. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm actually trying to help you. I guess it doesn't sound much like that, but this stuff irritates me. I've been reading all week long while I was up there. I've been reading all this stuff all week long about this, what I call a compromised form of Christianity. And the compromised form is you can't say anything about anything with any definitive talk at all because it's considered to be hateful because you're always using somebody as your target. Richard von Braun, if you've ever read his work, his material came out when they came into Romania and all that stuff, and communism began to come in. He was a preacher there. I don't know many of you that know that. Maybe you don't know that, but he was a preacher that was there. He wound up being tortured in prison for a long time. They came to him, and the minister of religion, when Hitler's group came through there, not Hitler, but Ceausescu and all them came through there, the first thing they said to the minister of religion is, you can preach about Jesus and you can preach about the crucifixion and you can preach about everything else. You just can't call the devil bad. And you cannot be conflicting with anybody else's religion. You can't be contrary to anybody else. You can tell them all the positive, but you can't tell them any negative. Now, I know Bible believers have the propensity to move too far to the negative, but sometimes you need to get balanced back out again because you've been watching too much TV. Here's what happens to you. The light of the body is the eye. You sit down and you watch that stuff all the time. You watch that stuff all the time, and then it's no big deal. As long as two people are in love, you're watching the Hallmark channels, clean channel, right? The only difference in the Hallmark channel is they don't take off their clothes. They let you paint the picture in your mind. And so what they do is this one's going through a divorce and he happens to meet the other one and they're soulmates and this one can't help themselves and they can't work on their marriage because they're just incompatible. They have incompatible differences and irreconcilable differences and they can't figure it out. And they meet so-and-so and I know it would be wrong to do, but since your marriage is over there, it's okay for me to be here and we're really in love. And then the next thing you know, it's coffee together and then it's lunch together and then it's a little wink and a little nod. And then the picture is them going behind closed doors and you fill in the blanks. Well, preacher, you know it really wasn't. No, you just ran the movie in your brain.
Right.
After you watch that stuff for a while, you get saturated. It's called brainwashing. What they do is they saturate you for a while, and then you know what you begin to do? You begin to think, well, it's no big deal. As long as you love each other, fornication's fine. Everybody does it. I was made this way. God made me this way. I've got all these appetites and all these things I can't control, and it's just not my fault. God, if God didn't want me to be like this, He shouldn't have made me this way. Okay, well, not to be harsh with you, ladies and gentlemen, but let's just think about that for just a minute. God made you with a physical appetite for food, didn't He? Okay. Well, you better learn to stop. You say, why? You'll eat yourself into the ground. I like sweets. Do you like sweets? I like sweets. I like sugar. I like cookies and cake, and I like pie, and I like ice cream. I love ice cream. That's a great mixture. It's a very prolific thing to mix cream and fat and sugar together in the same mixture. There's nothing like it. Put some chocolate syrup on it, man. Whew, boy. And then put that on top of a sugar-crusted, cinnamon-crusted hot apple pie or a blackberry dumpling that has been soaked in butter. Real butter, not the fake stuff. Not the stuff you throw it on the garage floor, it'll still be there a month from now. I'm talking the real creamy butter, that kind of a thing, with just the right amount of salt to it. And the whole thing just floating in that. And when you eat it, you just all of a sudden feel like you're going to explode like that. But you can't eat that stuff at every meal. You say, why? You'll be dead before you're 50. You have to control the appetite. Why is it that when it comes to sex, you don't control it? Why is it when it comes to money, you don't control it? You have to control the appetite. You have to control ambition. You have to learn to control things. When it comes to Christianity, it's like, well, just anything goes. You ought to just be glad. It's not going to be that way in heaven. He'll be glad you're there and glad that you're saved and praise the Lord and hallelujah and glory to God. But what about after salvation? Von Braun said when they came in there, he said it all started with don't be negative, don't be negative, don't say anything bad about anybody, including the devil. You can't say the devil's bad. Well, the Bible says the devil's bad. Now, modern research says, from Barnea and Pew Research and all that, they say the devil's not even real. He's a figment, he's a boogeyman that is made up by religion to keep you in line. The devil shouldn't be keeping you in line. It should be your fear of God keeping you in line. I'm not afraid of the devil keeping me in line. The devil don't ever get onto me for doing bad. The devil don't keep me in line. God keeps me in line. I'm afraid of what God will do to me if I do things that are wrong to do. And I'm grateful that the Lord is merciful and long-suffering. But don't mistake that for Him thinking that He condones what you're doing. That's the society you live in now. The society you live in is complete insanity. And because listen, when you read, your mind has to transfer words to pictures for your subconscious to get it. Look it up if you don't want to look it up. That's why movies and music are so dangerous. The picture is already there, so it goes right into your subconscious. That's why you don't like to read. It takes work. If you ever sat down and read a book, you know what you see? I see them on the plane all the time. They're listening to books and they're listening to this and listening to that because the pictures are already there. They like to watch movies all the time. Movies, on their hand thing and all that stuff, playing all the games and stuff. Pictures. Images. And when you pick up the Bible, He wrote it in a Bible. He could have made you a coloring book full of pictures. He wrote words. You say, why? Because He wants to check out your heart. Your heart draws pictures according to the book. But it requires work. So what you'll do is you'll pick up the Bible and read the Bible about 15 minutes and you'll be bored to tears and you'll turn on TV and watch it for 5 hours and think nothing of it. And that stuff's going directly into your mind and your mind is processing that stuff and it becomes your way of thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then you come into church and the preacher says, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Psalm chapter 45. Oh boy, here we go reading again. Here we go talking again. We don't have the big screen up here. We don't have a bunch of images. We don't have a bunch of color photographs up here to stimulate you because you're driven by pictures, because you become a visual age. As the one preacher said, well, Pastor, you have to learn some things about growing your church. I said, yes, sir, what's that? He said, you're living a visually stimulated group and you've got to get pictures and you've got to get movies and you've got to catch up with the time if you want to grow your church. I said, I guess that depends on how you measure growth. God wanted you to have pictures. He would have put pictures in the book. Where's the pictures of Jesus? There aren't any. I don't care what the Catholic Church says. You have no idea what He looked like. There were artists back in those days. How come no pictures of Him? People talk about, was Jesus really real? Was Jesus really real? The absence of His photograph lets me know He was real. He intentionally kept you from knowing what He looked like. Isn't that odd? Don't you find that strange? They got pictures of everybody else. Da Vinci paints a picture later on in life. Of course, that's where the Lord said, you know, anybody that wants to get in this picture, get on this side of the table. That's the caption at the bottom of the picture there. But Da Vinci drew pictures and stuff like that, and you say he draws a picture of Jesus up there. Where did he get his image from? There's no picture of Jesus. You don't know what Jesus looked like. The Bible says He has black hair like a raven and eyes like a dove and things like that. And if He is a Shemite and He's going to have a big hooked nose and things like that. But there's no picture of Him anywhere. The shroud of Turin. He didn't have a shroud on Him. He had a napkin over His head. So ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that if you're going to go by what the Bible says, you have to realize the devil is going to counter it with something that's easier for you. It's much easier to sit and look at pictures. Do you realize what the reading rate in the United States of America is now? You have kids now that are 10, 11, 12 years old that are still reading at first grade level because you don't read anymore. You say, why? Because it takes time for your body to transfer that, your mind to transfer that words into images and put them down into your heart. You'd rather just get it straight through. Give me the hot shot. Don't give me a little bit of a gateway drug. Give me a little marijuana, a little T's and blues. Give me a little bit of prescription drug abuse and all that. Just go ahead and load me up. Give it to me straight up. I want to get it quick as I can get it. That's like a heroin addict does. So what you want to realize is that when it comes to the stuff I'm going to show you in the Bible, there's choices, but it's going to run contrary to the news. Amen. Haven't you learned this? Haven't you learned that if news is going to run 24 hours a day, somebody's got to be making up something to say nobody can talk 24 hours a day about news?
Yeah.
Somebody's just shooting off the hip. They're just shooting. They got no script. They have no authority. You know, we're going to switch to so-and-so, and then the guy's scrambling around looking for something to say to fill the time because we can't have dead air. Hurry up. Haven't you noticed the increase in the amount of advertisements? You say, why? They ain't got nothing to say. You don't have no script, see? No authoritative script. Well, this poll says this, and this poll says this, and this poll. Let me tell you about polls, okay? Well, even the Christian polls. You were to come in here and ask a Christian survey, you're going to get one kind of poll. You say, why? Because you folks are here for Sunday school, and you intend to come here to learn the Bible and learn some things about the Bible. You came to church for the right reasons. I will say that your opinion of their questions is going to be somewhat skewed by the Bible. But if I were to go right now down to the ball field or something like that, or go to the football stadium, or go to the mall, or go to the beach and ask the same questions, I can make that poll say anything I want it to say. By who I poll. If I poll a bunch of college kids on a college campus, I can make everybody think there's nobody in church today. Everybody, the churches are gone, the buzzards are circling, Ichabod's over every church building, and all the churches have emptied out into the street. Nobody's going to church anymore. You say, why? Well, none of the college kids are going there anymore. Well, that don't mean nothing. What you have to do is realize that polls are made to manipulate your way of thinking.
Right.
You say, why? You're a pack animal.
Yep.
You want to run with the crowd. What's everybody else doing? I don't know. What's Jesus doing?
Amen.
I'm going to give you some things here. Hopefully it'll help you. And it's not meant to upset you. It's not meant to make you think you've got to go out here and hate everybody. But you do have to learn to hate the things God hates.
Yeah.
Hate the things God hates.
Amen.
You can't say that. I'm sure the day will come if the Lord tarries. I'm positive the day will come where they're going to say, okay, enough of that, and if you preach that anymore, you're going to go to jail. I'm sure of that. You say in America? Yeah, in America. You say, well, preacher, what are you going to do? I got to do what God tells me to do. I hope you'll come visit me. Bring me some pie and ice cream. I can eat myself to death. All right, now look at this thing. Psalm 45. Psalm 45, this is David here is going down through here, and then he's also talking about the Lord. A lot of this has to do with Jesus Christ talking. You have to watch that throughout the book. He talks about Armageddon there in verse number 5, and then the Lord picks it up again. Thy throne, O God, that's been changed. They don't talk about the deity of Christ anymore. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. That's God talking to God. He's talking to Jesus Christ there. That's deity. The throne's not deified. God's deified. And then he said, thou lovest righteousness. And what? And, how come TK's the only one said that? And what? Okay. You love God? Do you love His righteousness? Well, how can you say that and love wickedness? Let me just show you a couple of verses on this. Therefore, God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above love. Father, bless your word and help us this morning as we look into these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Psalms chapter 5. I've never heard this before. I can't imagine a God of hate. I can't imagine a God that doesn't hate. I can't imagine a God that just lets everything go. I can't imagine a God that condones Hitler and Stalin and Bloody Mary and Lenin, who killed something like a total of somewhere close to 10 billion people over a period of lifetime with their way of thinking and stuff. But during the time of World War I and World War II, you got millions and millions and millions and millions of people being destroyed by those bloody killers. The Catholic Church has killed more than that. I can't imagine God saying, well, you know, they meant well. They didn't really know. They were just ignorant to it and it didn't matter. The Bible teaches you all through the Bible that God makes choices about people. I love the ones that love me and I hate the ones that don't. Watch. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I disliked. Well, the word hate there doesn't mean he really hated him. What he's really trying to say is compared to his love for... Here we go. Scholars got to come in and clean up that word. Most of the scholars, and you read through about 25 or so commentaries when it comes to that passage right there, they just completely ignore the word hate. They say what that means is that the Lord will judge righteously. Okay, how's he going to judge righteously? Do you know how he judges righteously? He makes a choice. You know what he says? I love that and I hate that. That shamming and cutting corners and all that, what does the Lord say? Well, I understand under the circumstances. That's modern Christianity. We're just glad you're here. Appreciate so much you being here today. And thank you so much. And please don't leave before we pass the offering plate. Look in Psalms chapter number 5. You know I'm telling the truth. You just kind of like, don't. All right, now watch. Chapter number 5, Psalm 5. We're just talking about some things the Lord hates. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest the work of those that, you know, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Psalm 5:5. Thou hatest how many workers of iniquity? Well, pretty rough, isn't it? You mean he hates an old woman that's a work in iniquity? Yeah. Now, here's what happens. Well, she's an old woman, you know, and she's a nice woman. She saved? Well, no. She doing stuff she shouldn't be doing? Well, see how it gets hung? It's like, well, I don't really see God. See, God looking at their soul. He's not looking at it where they're being changed and going, well, you know, you need to have pity on. No, no. I've seen old women create more problems than you can possibly imagine. You think God looks at it and goes, well, they're old. They can't help it. Stop alibiing it. Let's go a little further. Look in the same passage right there. Verse 6, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. That's the counterfeits. That's individuals that are doing things conniving deceptively. The Lord will abhor. That's a strong word. The Lord will abhor. That word means to hate vehemently with great hate. Will abhor the bloody and, look at that, deceitful. You want to get God against you? Just be deceitful in how you deal with him. Be deceitful in your business practice. Be deceitful with your wife, or be deceitful with your husband, or be deceitful with you. Just be deceitful. Am I in the Bible? Are you what you say you are, or are you just a chameleon? You see how it can sound like I'm being harsh? Look in Psalm chapter number 11. I'm just reading Bible verses to you. And somebody in here is going to say this, well, it's just all Old Testament. Okay, well, don't take any of the promises in the book of Psalms next time you get in trouble then. Don't you go to Psalms for comfort, you know. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Can't take that. You can't take it all. You don't get the cherry pick. The same verses where God tells you he's your comforter. He says he hates you if you're a lying, deceitful individual. If you're a sham, you're not going to get in front of the Lord and sham the Lord. You're covered by the blood, thank God. You're going to get at the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord's going to go, don't try that on me down there. Them people are stupid, but I know what you're doing. You're a two-faced liar. Psalms chapter number 11. What's the Lord think about that? Boy, it's just no big deal. He loves everybody. I think you got a sermon on Romans 1:32 the other day, didn't you? Take pleasure in them that do it. I've often wondered about this. I wondered how many times people realize that by listening to the gossip of other individuals, they become a partaker in the gossip. And the reason that they're still gossiping is because you're still listening. I've heard this until I get wore out. I get people say all the time, how come they're going after all the street people that are just buying the drugs and all that? Because if you drive the demand, you'll drive the supply. Why don't they get the big guy? The big guy's not the problem. Now, why would you have a problem with that? Well, they shouldn't be getting the little guy. The little guy can't help it. But if the little guy's not there, the big guy's got nothing to sell. Well, they shouldn't be messing with the little guy. They should be messing with the big guy. You're crooked as a dog's hind leg. You're looking to justify your wickedness is what you're trying to do. Verse number 5. This is just Sunday school. Psalm 11:5. I've seen that thing in court. I've seen that thing in court so many times. If somebody comes in, here comes the attorney. And the attorney, you're the defense attorney, and they get up and they say, Detective Peacock, yes. Isn't it true that the alleged victim in this case, I say alleged victim in this case, we don't know for a fact, okay, isn't it true the alleged victim made a statement that this did not happen? Yes, that's true, but, Your Honor, stop, I only asked for the question. I only want the portion of the story that does me good. I'm not going to tell the whole truth. I'm going to... So if the state attorney's got their minds on something else and not paying attention, they don't object or they don't come back and cross-examination and say, Detective, could I ask you a question? I know that they made that statement. Did they say anything else? And then they give you the opportunity and then the jury goes, oh. That's called deceit. You cherry pick what makes you look good out of the story. I think, and then cut it off. Just give that portion. Dangerous stuff. I'll see many a court case like that. Psalm chapter number 11, verse number 5, the Lord trieth the righteousness, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul. The wicked and them that loveth, that's a pretty broad spectrum. And them that love violence, the Bible says his soul hateth them. Let's go a little bit further. Psalms 101. It's all through here. I'm just going to read you verses this morning. Well, you're just doing a verse-by-verse study. Yeah?
Good.
Well, what happened to Christian character? This is part of Christian character. You've got to learn to make some choices. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this to you? Listen, we're few in number as it is. Can we at least agree to get behind Jesus Christ and accept His book for what it is and stop this foolishness of undermining stuff going on for our own benefit? Can we just agree that we all need work when it comes to our walk with the Lord? And we all have the brush of carnality from the pulpit to the pew. Can we all just admit, yeah, you know what, he's right, I got my problems. Maybe you're just as pure as a driven snow this morning. But can the Holy Spirit bring something to your mind in the past week where you said or you did something and you're thinking, you know something? That's just self-serving and deceitful. And I just feathered my own nest with that at the expense of some other Christian because I'm just... And the Lord said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to get it right, Lord. I apologize for that. I was wrong. That's what the purpose of this is. Make some choices. Don't be looking at everybody else this morning. Psalms 101, look at verse number 3. This is a tough one. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I read that recently. A guy came up. He was cutting up. I came up after church and he said, can I get rid of my wife? I said, what? And he said, can I? I said, you need to talk to your pastor about that. He goes, well, you said set no wicked thing before my eyes. I said, brother, that's not a verse for divorce, man. I said, poke out your eyes or get you some blinders. You can't be doing that. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that do what? Turn aside, backslide, quit. You want to set no wicked thing before your eyes? Here's a good way to start. Look in the mirror. Okay, TV, computer, that's kid stuff. Pornography, all the other stuff, that's kid stuff. What do you see when you look in the mirror? I'll set no wicked thing. Lord, there's something wicked there. Well, if you don't want to set it before your eyes, then why don't you get right? He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. That's an individual that knows to do right and doesn't do it. The Lord says He hates it. Now you're saved. You're born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You're going to heaven one day. And you're going to get up there and the Lord is going to ask you, what did it take to turn you aside? Somebody said something about you? Do you ever realize this about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ doesn't even know what it's like to take out vengeance on somebody. That Bible says that He learned things by the things that He suffered. Right? He learned obedience by the things He suffered. The Lord has to teach him some obedience. He has to teach him subjection, but He also has to teach him how to take out vengeance. The Lord never took out vengeance when He was here. When He was reviled, what did He do? Reviled not again. He had the power to heal and raise the dead. He could have killed people. He could have took every one of them and just spoke the word and destroyed them. And yet, what did he do? You ever think about that? He doesn't know until the second coming of Christ, and the Lord and the Father will teach him how to take out vengeance when he's stomping out his enemies. But that's a God that hates. I want to be pleasing to the Lord, and I realize my biggest hindrance is whenever I get to looking at other people, the Lord always brings to my attention they're not the problem, you are. And the only reason you're offended is because you think of yourself more highly than you ought.
Amen.
Well, preacher, they're lying about you. Well, I'd have to say thank God they're not telling the truth.
Amen.
Well, preacher, they're cutting you down and all that kind of stuff. Well, maybe I deserve it. Preacher, I know somebody that said so-and-so about you and all that kind of stuff. Okay, well, let them cuss. It's what David said. Boy comes out and he's slinging dirt at him and cussing him. Abishai pulls out the sword and he said, I'm going to take his head off. He's a stinking dead dog as far as I'm concerned. And David said, "Yeah, maybe the Lord will reward me and let him curse at me." Whew, that's a tough one, ain't it? You're cursing me now. It's a blessing to him. He's saying, shut up and take it. Well, it's not true and self-serving and all that. Okay, well, they're talking about me. They're not talking about you. It ain't fun. It's hard. Especially when you know they're lying. What'd the Lord do? You get up there in eternity, you know what He's going to say? He said, how come you're trying to not only turn aside, but turn other people aside? Psalms 119. I've never seen an individual that didn't have an impact on other people and his family and all that when they get that stuck in their craw. And the bottom line is because they don't hate the workers of iniquity. The Lord hates gossip. Now, how would you be able to say that it's okay to gossip? You can't unless you love it. You have to love it more than you love Him. I'm working on a message right now. I'm not finished with it yet. I haven't put the finishing touches on it yet. But it's when your Ishmael becomes an Isaac. That's when the sins of the flesh become something you love so much you refuse to sacrifice it and it gets between you and God because you love it just like something that came from God. And it's a hard one. I'll give you a couple of days' notice before I preach it so you can feel sick that day. I wouldn't blame you. I mean, I'm under conviction reading it. Because what happens is it's these things that are I call preferences and prejudices and your own priorities and even your political conviction, they're all connected with your flesh. And they should just go out the back door and you forget them. But you love them so much you just won't let them go. You just won't let them go. You just won't let them go. And before long, they morph into an Isaac. And the Lord says, take now thy son, thine only son, to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a sacrifice. Let Mount Nile tell thee of, and offer him there for a sacrifice. Nothing doing, Lord. I ain't about to give that up. Why? Mighty Ishmael's done become my Isaac. Are you in Psalms 119? Psalms 119, let's pick it up around verse 104. Psalms 119, we went over these. 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate. I mean, how do you even make a comment on that? Is what you're doing honest or not? If it is, good. If it's not, he hates every false way. Policeman pulls you over. You know why I stopped you? I have no idea. You're profiling me. You weren't aware you were 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. Did you see that car go by? They're going faster than I was going. I can't. Look at that car right there. Look at that car right there. Do you know why I stopped you? No. I'm taking you to court. Okay. I hate every false way. Every false post that shades the truth and makes it into be something you want it to look like, something appear like, something that's not all the way true or maybe used to be true but ain't no more. Posting a picture that's got 10 years ago. When you were 20 pounds lighter and bumping the stats a little bit. This is something you people should be aware of in all of your races right now. They make numbers say what they want them to say. Crime is down. What kind of crime? part one crimes. How'd you divide the part one crimes? Well, we changed and took the battery and aggravated battery out, and part one crime is now just first degree murder. And first degree murder's down. That's one of the hardest things to charge somebody with, to show premeditation. Most are second degree or manslaughter. Am I telling the truth? You say, well, part one crimes are down. Well, it depends on how you decide what part one crimes are. Now, if you're on the opposing side, you're saying part one crimes are up, but we go ahead and include any crime against a person that the person was assaulted or injured. Robbery, rape, battery, aggravated battery, assault, all of that. And then you find goes through the roof. Drug abuse is down. What drug are you talking about? What drug are you talking about? You say, what are you doing? That's a false way. But it facilitates you so well if you're running for office. Well, while I was the mayor, we noticed a great decrease in the budget. What budget? There's about 50 of them. What budget are you talking about? What makes up that budget? See? Yeah, I got 20-something of them cards the other day in the mail. A vote for this and vote for that, and this guy did that, and this guy did this. You say, what do you think about it? You can't believe a word printed on it. They take one thing out of what somebody said 20 years ago and spin it into something going on right now. How do you do that? Unless you're crooked. If it meets your approval, you know what you do? You say, I like that guy. He agrees with me. He's a liar. Well, I know, but I hate every false way. How do you vote for that? Well, the guy's lying. Well, yeah, but it's good for me. It keeps money in my bank account and I keep my insurance going. Preacher, that's a little too close to the curbing. Here's a good one for you. Verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but the law do I love. Vain thoughts. You ever have a vain thought? You look in the mirror and go, you look pretty good there, fella. Well, the Lord's saying, you're vain, boy. You've lost your... I hate vain thoughts. That's thoughts that you are the center of. He says he hates it. That's rough. Well, you know, not for me. I've never had a vain thought before. 127. Therefore I love the commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I hate every false way. Now, he's showing you something there in Psalms 119, and what he's showing you there is, he's showing you where you measure truth. Now, give me just a second, okay, so I can explain something to you, especially those that are new. If there is no absolute foundation, there's no absolute truth, then truth and false, it moves on a sliding scale based on experience, based on man's moral experience. What he's saying there is, I love your law, I love your precepts, I love your commands. That's what establishes truth. So the measuring stick is truth. You can't resolve any argument with anybody unless both parties recognize an authority. And if you're the authority, there is no point in arguing because you are skewed how you see and think. I am skewed how I see and think. We have to have how he sees and thinks in order to have an absolute authority. And if you don't have that, you don't even know what a false way is. You go by what everybody else does and what everybody else thinks. And you'll generally gravitate toward how it makes you feel. Makes you feel okay. Why? It removes that guilt. Just read an article this morning, or very, very early this morning, about how many people are, quote, leaving the church because the church makes them feel guilty about things they're doing. One fellow wrote 3 or 4 pages, and he said in there, yes, I realized that I was made to go to church when I was a young man, and I had to go to church camp and all those things. And when I graduated and began to work on my PhD, I realized the reason for my guilt feelings was because I was affiliated with a church, and I needed to get away from that. And now I feel quite good about myself. So it's the church's fault, see, that you feel bad. It's not you're doing wrong. It's that you're doing wrong in the eyes of the church. No, you're doing wrong in the eyes of God, not the church. It's not church doctrine, it's Bible doctrine. But listen, listen, you can't, if you're arguing with somebody, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, anybody else, you can't make any headway with them at all if they don't recognize this is the authority, this is the Word of God. And if you don't do that, you're wasting your breath. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I want to argue about this. You believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? Well, I think there's a... Okay. Talk to you later. Well, I'm not even, there's no point in talking to you. What do you think about it? Well, I don't want to just talk to hear myself talk. Well, the Bible says, well, that's just your opinion. No, the Bible says it. You want to get an explanation of Psalms 145, verse 7? You know what he said? I love righteousness and hate evil. Well, could you give us the explanation of that? Well, I grew up, they actually taught me to read. He loves righteousness. He hates evil. You commentate that any way you want to commentate that. It's pretty plain to me. A country boy can get a hold of that. Well, but what does evil mean? I mean, aren't there all kinds of evil? See? Now you're diluting the truth. Now you're messing the thing up. Well, what really is righteousness? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this to you, but I got to tell you this. You don't need a preacher to tell you how to live right. You know how to live right. A preacher has to spend time telling you how to live right because you won't listen to what God's already told you. You know what's right to do. You need a preacher telling you how to don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and all that. You're very capable of knowing what's right and wrong. You just don't do it. That's what you get in trouble. You don't need a preacher to tell you what's right and wrong. You know what's right and wrong. And you know when you do it, it ain't right. The Holy Spirit's already told you. It's just easier to get mad at the preacher when he amens the Holy Spirit. Okay, quiet there. Look in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6. How are we doing on time? Got a couple minutes. I've already covered this one before, but I wanted to hit this about the abomination. A lot of great things in look in Proverbs 6, look in verse number 12. We'll start there to get the context of the thing. A lot of great things in a book of Proverbs, practical things that are just good for you on a regular basis. You get to reading over there and you see some things where I better not get off on that. Verse 12, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and all them that armed want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. There's that deceitful thing again. He's putting on airs because he's doing something behind the scenes. In my day, they called that a con man. He knows how to talk the talk and walk the walk. I call them Christian cons. They know how to fit in like chameleons when they need to fit in, especially when it's to their benefit. He winketh his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. In other words, you can tell by where he goes and what he does and who he hangs out with what he really is. He winketh his eyes. You know how they're, you know, always, you know, they're telling you something, but between me and you, you know, that's what he's talking about. He teacheth with his fingers. He's giving you hand signs behind the scene. It's not to steal third either. Frowardness is in his heart. That has to do with pride and arrogancy. He deviseth mischief continually. He does what? He creates contention between people. There's something always stirred up around him. Now, if this is a personal commentary on you, then you should change it. If you're always surrounded around controversy, you should check it. You say, why? That's the Lord telling you there's a common bond. The reason you're always surrounded by it is because you're the instigator of it or the facilitator of it. I don't know how it is. Some people can go through life and they don't ever seem to be involved in anything. And then other people go through life and they seem to be involved in everything. You just can't, you know, inquiring minds have to know. You just have to know. Well, number one, it creates a problem because it creates dissension and discord. It creates a division that's there. And then what begins to happen is you begin to facilitate those things, and there's always contention around you. There's always a controversy around you. Well, could I just suggest that maybe you're the common denominator? That's why you're in church, for somebody to tell you that. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. That's a strong word. Yea, seven are an abomination. Abomination is just hate on steroids. Proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. You can do that with a pen.
Amen.
You can write stuff about somebody or say something about somebody and put out innuendos that are half-truths. And if somebody were to pin you down, you could say, I told the truth just like I told you about the guy in court, but you're not allowed to tell the whole truth. Just the part that best facilitates what makes you look good. Yea, six things as seven are an abomination to him, a hands that shed innocent blood, verse 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. It's not just you thinking it yourself, it's you devising somebody else to imagine what you're wanting to perceive about who you're talking about. You're devising that. You're painting a picture. Well, now I do business with him, and I'm sure he's a good guy and everything. And I don't know if this is true or not. Well, I probably shouldn't say anything. What are you doing? You're devising wicked imaginations. You don't have to do nothing else. You've done filled in the blanks because you got a personal vendetta against that individual. And what you just did was, is you just in the name of looking out for him. You just painted a picture. You devised wicked imaginations. You don't know what somebody's motive is. You can't speak for that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, the Lord says those things are more than just hateful. Those things are hate on steroids. That's an abomination to him. And you want to do a real word study or a real... You go through those things, and if you don't get under conviction, then I'll have to quit preaching. Because there's not anybody in here that is not guilty of doing that in your own life. You paint things out to be the way you want them to be. And then the next thing you know, you wind up thinking, man, if that's an abomination to the Lord, why would I enjoy doing it so much? Answer, because you don't have where we started. You don't have a hate for evil. And if you don't have a hate for evil, it's going to cause you to get in trouble. It's not just I have a love of the truth. You have to love the truth, but you have to hate evil. It can't just fill you up with truth all the time. Well, just tell us the truth, just tell us the truth, just tell us the truth. That's like you know, with your old preacher would say, go out here and just have one battery post connected, all positive. It won't run. There's a balance. So I have to love the truth, that's true, but I have to hate the evil. I have to hate the evil.